On Tuesday evening, Israel launched a wave of attacks on the Gaza Strip, sparking fears that the US-brokered ceasefire may lie in tatters. The Israeli military said it struck dozens of terror targets and terrorists in response to violations by Hamas. In response, Hamas said it had no connections to the attack and remains committed to the deal. Meanwhile, the international president of Medecins Sans Frontières, Dr. Javid Abdelmanem, has called on world leaders to drastically increase the number of medical evacuations from Gaza. He warns that the war between Israel and Hamas has left the Strip's health system in ruins, leaving many without life-saving medical care. I'm Mio Pinar. The ceasefire took effect on 10 October, 2 years after Hamas's cross-border attack resulted in the death of 1,221 people in Israel and 251 people taken hostage. According to the territory's health ministry, Israel's subsequent assault on Gaza killed at least 68,500 people. The United Nations considers these figures provided by the Hamas-run health ministry reliable. Although the media is not allowed in the territory yet, international medical teams remain active. Jacaranda Newswatch got a hold of Jacob Granger. He is MSF's emergency coordinator in Gaza.
And the current state of health in Gaza is still catastrophic. So there's a kind of ceasefire ongoing since the 10th of October. But the fact that there's a kind of ceasefire does not mean that the needs of the population in Gaza are resolved. To give you an example, Gaza City, that was targeted by the Israeli military operation in August and September quite heavily, we had to leave Gaza City, where we were supporting two hospitals, where we had one primary health care center and one wound care clinic. And we just had to leave because the security was not enough. There were no guarantees for our teams to operate over there without being damaged, killed, and so on. So we left people behind because there were still hundreds of thousands living in Gaza City. We could go back 3 weeks after and open again the wound care clinic that we have. We saw the people coming back to the wound care clinic. And these people, it was worse than before. So this is overall what we can see. And the need in health is on every aspect. So there's not enough hospitals, there's not enough health facilities, there's not enough access for medical health for people. So medical aspects, but not only. There's also food, there's also water, and then this common sense of need for security, space, shelter. Name it, you have it. There's needs everywhere here.
Are there any functional hospitals left in Gaza?
There are some. Still functional, still operational, but does not mean that they are untouched, undestructed. The level of destruction on hospital was huge. It's over 90%. I think it was 95% of the hospital that has been damaged, partially or totally destroyed in Gaza. So as of today, there's one hospital that is the biggest in Gaza Strip, that is Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis. And they were before the war a hospital amounting to 350 beds or something like this. In September, they reached 1,000 beds because of the needs and because of the fact that other hospital has been forced to close. So the European Gaza Hospital in Khan Yunis as well is not accessible because this hospital is in the zone that Israeli forces don't want the population to access. Shifa Hospital has been heavily destroyed and is not able to continue to have as many beds as the population should need.
He says getting the necessary medical supplies into the Strip is challenging.
There's heavy control and restriction
by Israeli authorities on the type of medical items that will come inside the ship. So some of the medical items are considered as dual-use items by Israeli authorities, meaning in the eye of Israeli authorities, these items could be used for military purpose, but also for civilian purpose. The thing is, a lot of items are falling into this description, even items that are harmless. One of the most famous example would be cream for scabies. It's basically a hydrating cream, but it has already been rejected because considered as dual use. So right now there's also a focus we need to have. Everyone will look at the number of trucks going into Gaza, which is good, which is better than nothing, but which is not enough. It's not only the number of trucks, but it's also the type of items that can come inside. And to heal the population, to distribute water to the population, we need some of the items that are obstructed, impeded by Israeli authorities. That would be some surgical items, scalpels. We have a lot of trauma injuries here. If we want to heal people with wound, we need scalpels. This is logic. That would be also autoclaves. So that's a kind of sterilization device that you need for surgical items. But there's also generators. You have no electricity line here. To function a hospital, you need to have electricity. Hence, you need generators and you need to have them coming inside. You need to have spare parts to ensure that the generator are going to work on the long run. But this is also the case for water. You need desalinization plants, reverse osmosis, so kind of device that permit to bring water from down the ground to upper the ground and to reduce the salinity of the water so it can become drinkable. And this is an everyday struggle to try to face the administrative requirements that Israeli authorities put in place to impede humanitarian aid inside Gaza.
On the 22nd of August this year, a UN-backed body called the Integrated Food Security Phase Classification declared a famine in Gaza.
There's something quite strange, let's say, because if you look here in the region, less than 50 kilometers away from anywhere in Gaza, you have food. The only thing that is impeding food to go inside Gaza is the restriction done by Israeli authorities. So they did the total blockade during 80 days at the end of the last ceasefire. That was a severe hit for the health of the Gazan population. And then what is really important also is that for sick people, food is very important to recover. We are treating burn people. We are treating trauma injuries. So people hit by bullets, by explosions from tanks, drones, and so on. And to have the skin healing itself, you need to have a constant and foreseeable alimentation. So this is one of the direct impact that we can see.
The October 10th ceasefire saw all the remaining hostages freed. World leaders celebrated this deal as a step towards a Middle East peace plan. But Palestinians in Gaza remain largely in the same situation.
I think that everything that can be celebrated should be celebrated. And yeah, especially here, it's important to have this small reason to be happy. Now there's the celebration, of course. I mean, before the 10th of October, it was really worse. So death could happen anywhere on anyone at any moment. We had two colleagues killed because of a hit that happened the 2nd of October. The two colleagues were physiotherapists. So people helping injured people to be able to continue to live, to have the adequate movements to be able to continue to live. And they were just waiting for the bus, the Doctors Without Borders bus, to go to the hospital to do their day of work, and they were just there. They are dead. So, of course, it's a reason to celebrate because this is less happening. It's still happening a little bit, but way less than before. Then there's with this hope of a ceasefire being a long-term solution, there's also the despair. Gaza is destroyed. I'm from Paris. It's just imagining myself living in Paris, Paris being destroyed, and putting a tent on the rubble of the building I was living in because of the war. I guess you can have some hope and you can cheer the fact that there's less bombs flying everywhere. But then your building is still destroyed. You are still in a tent. Winter is coming, and most likely several people of your family have been killed. So, yeah, you can share, but you cannot forget all of these elements.
The United Nations launched an independent international commission of inquiry on the occupied Palestinian territory, including East Jerusalem and Israel. It published a legal analysis on the 16th of September this year, which found that Israel has committed genocide against the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. Israel has vehemently denied these allegations, denouncing the report as distorted and false. But what is the assessment of those who have been on the ground in Gaza?
We are here since a long time, and we stayed throughout the 2 years, more than 2 years of war. We saw what happened during this time. We saw the social fabric being destroyed. We saw the health system being under attack and also targeted. We have 15 colleagues that has been killed here. The number of humanitarian workers killed is over 400. The number of journalists killed is over 250. Yeah, there's several elements. We see the type of injury. We see the people coming from what we call mass casualty incidents. So bombs flying to kill someone. We don't really know for what reason. And we saw the level of civilian injuries that can happen. We had mass casualty incidents back in 2024. A number of casualties being targeted. And I saw, I was there in July 2024. I was in Nasser Hospital at that time. And I saw from my eyes that these people were children, elderly, men, women, everyone. So, yeah, all together for MSF, we are considering this a genocide.
Granger says the psychological and mental health of Gazans has changed. It is easily seen.
This social fabric and the mental health of the people of Gaza, there's the obvious that we can see, the destruction of the buildings, the people having lost their life, a member of their family, or an arm, a leg, part of their body. But then there's also the impact on mental health of everyone, especially on the children. After 2 years here, you can see that the children are more aggressive than before. And this is not right. This is something that needs to stop, and we need to take care of the children everywhere around the world, and of course also in Gaza.
The next phase of the Gaza ceasefire remains unclear, as Israel is objecting to Turkey sending troops to keep the peace in Gaza, and the King of Jordan told the BBC that international troops won't want to enforce peace. He says peacekeeping and peace enforcement are two different matters. And while the politics keep on playing out, the families of the hostages are demanding that the next steps in the Gaza ceasefire be paused until the remains of the hostages who died in Gaza are returned. I'm Milpinar for Jacaranda FM Newswatch.